the opinions and ideas of the guests of Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie are not necessarily that of the host or Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to Spooky Things with Sarah and Debbie on the Web Radio Network. And now, Sarah and Debbie.
Hi, everybody. This is Debbie. And guess what? We got a surprise for you tonight. It is Sarah.
Yay, I'm here, guys. So happy to be back. I've missed y'all so much.
You survived.
Honey, I am a survivor after everything.
Oh my God.
That I have gone through. Lord, have mercy. I am a survivor. I'm a warrior. That's what I am. I'm a warrior. I'm not a survivor. I'm a warrior.
You're both. You went to war and survived.
Well, yeah, that's true.
It is true. Absolutely.
Well, thank you. I'm proud of you holding everything down while I was going through all this stuff and as sick as I was and in the hospital and whatnot. And you just did amazing. Thank you so much, Deb. I appreciate it, baby.
Oh, no problem. You know, you'll be paying me back.
I know you'll make me pay you back. I know.
You know that. I mean, come on.
That's what I'm worried about. What's she going to do to me now?
Oh, my goodness. For those of you that don't keep up with my Facebook or anything like that, I have, well, not only with what Sarah's been going through, but I was going from one investigation to another. I can tell you about those investigation that I did. It was pretty cool. It was just me and Devin that went. It was right here in local in Mariana.
Is that when you found Uno that day?
Yes.
Okay.
And we were going from one to the other, and Saturday was like raining. I mean, just coming down in buckets. And the car was in front of us, and we were almost right at her house. I mean, it was like almost to her doorstep. And she goes off of the road, avoiding something in the road. I'm like, what is in the road? And there is this little kitten curled up. It wasn't curled up, but he had his little paws up underneath him, you know, like all crouched up in just this like small little ball in the middle of the street.
Bless his heart.
Oh, man. And I mean, it's pouring buckets. So this thing is like drowning in the rain, just sitting there. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I open the door and I've got this big old truck. So, you know, it's like it's really high up off the ground. So when my truck goes next to it, it's like it's so small, I can barely see it from this truck. So I get down out of the truck. It's pouring down rain. I go to pick it up. Guys, it was hurt so bad. It had been hit by a car. And as we found out, the kitten is 4 months old.
So
it's hurt so bad that its right front leg was literally ripped off.
God almighty.
Oh, my. It's a horrific injury. So I, you know, we're like, we got to do something. So anyway, long story short, I ended up taking it to the vet, told the vet it's a stray, but I've fallen in love with it on the way.
Right. And
so we now have Uno. My son calls her Uno.
Aww.
One leg left to stand on the front.
Oh, bless his heart.
Yeah, so he calls her Uno, and she's just as cute as she can be. And, so anyway, we went down to the vet and we picked her up. They did the rest of the amputation to it yesterday. And we went down and picked her up. And oh, my God.
Yeah,
stole in my heart and walked away with it. You know, I mean, this has us so wrapped right now. But everything she does is like, oh, it's so cute. Oh, it's so cute. And I know in a week from now it's going to be, oh, no.
Yeah.
But I wanted to, if you could just give me just 2 minutes, Sarah.
Honey, take your time. Do what you need to do.
I wanted to give this huge shout out to everybody. And I'm going to go get my paper because I don't want to leave anybody out. When we took her down to this, it works as an emergency animal hospital, and the people who we went and brought little Uno down to, amazing people.
Think she's getting
I mean,
adjusted?
absolutely amazing. Yeah, I would say she's getting a. Oh my God, you guys! I know that the readers or the followers.
Oh, I hear her. There's our baby.
You think she's comfortable?
Yes, bless its heart.
She said yes. I wanted to go on ahead and read off who we've got here. And this place is amazing. It's called Bay Spay Bay, Operation Spay Bay. And it's in Bay County, Florida. Panama City. Panama City is
Right.
in Bay County.
Right.
It's about close to an hour's drive away from where I live. But I mean,
Yep.
going there was so worth it. And the doctor is so funny. The doctor's name, who we took her to, her name is Alicia Bays. Okay.
Okay.
We call her Dr. Kitty. It's even on her shirt, Dr. Kitty.
Oh.
And she like specializes in cats. So I mean, what better place could I have taken Uno to?
Right, right.
I mean, cats are like her favorite. She specializes in cats. And I mean, she did such a really beautiful job on the site where they had to amputate it.
Right.
And I mean, they spayed her, they gave her everything that she needed. You guys, these people are awesome. They really are. And the other
Well,
doctor, they were.
God bless them for doing what they do.
I know, right? The other
Yes.
doctor is Dr. Doretha Jones. She's the other doctor that's in there. And the people that are doing the amazing things also is called Castaway Cats and Dogs. And they'll take an animal if it's hurt, and they get them whatever they need. And then they turn around, they foster them, and they find them great homes.
Awesome.
Right? I mean, you don't find this anymore.
No.
So, and
And I bet
the
they're all
amazing,
nonprofit.
well, they would have to because I mean, the money that's being spent on
Right.
just these animals, I mean, they're putting a lot of money into it.
Yes.
Now, of course, they go by private donations and things like that as well. Blankets. Let me see, what is it on here? Oh, of course, it doesn't have it on there. But in any case, they, if anybody wants to donate like blankets or food, money, cash works good for them. Laundry detergent. And apparently on Amazon, there's a wish list for Operation Spay Bay. So if you guys would
Right.
like to donate to them, go to Amazon and just put down Castaway Dogs and Cats, and it'll show you a wish list for them. But really, I'll tell you the truth, they'll take anything if you want to give it. And they're worth everything that they
Yes.
and more.
Yes, because look what they just did for Uno. I mean, God bless people like this, and I'm so happy that there are people like that out there that take care of these little innocent fur babies that get hurt, and it bah humbug to you guys out there that think it's a cool thing to be on the highway and you see an animal crossing the road and you rev up and you run over this poor little thing. It is a creature of God. It is a living animal and breathes just like we do, and I can't stand people like that that do something like that. I just
I'm
want to
sorry.
take them and I'm
I have
shake
no
them.
tolerance. I have no tolerance. There's no love lost with me with them.
That's right.
And Maxine was telling Matt. Maxine is the amazing tech that we deal with down there. And she's so funny. She's got a British accent, so you love talking to her anyway.
Oh, I'd love to listen to her.
I know. She's great. And apparently there's been like a rat. I don't know what happened. Maxine did not go into it, but I'm under the impression that here in Mariana, apparently they've had a lot of animals taken down there from Mariana. Apparently a group of people who happen to think it's just really fun stuff to maim and injure animals. Isn't that nice?
There's a place in hell for them.
The way I see it. I got no patience. I got no tolerance for that. It's just, you know, this was a 4-month-old kitten. It got run over by a car to where it ripped its leg off. Oh, come on. You're sick. And then the other girl down there was Kathy. And Kathy was super, super sweet. You can't go wrong. When you go in there, I don't think it matters who you get. They're just a good bunch of people. But,
Well, hey, idea. Idea. What if Shadow Chasers, and maybe we can get Web Paranormal involved if they want to, and we do a charity benefit down there for them one Saturday?
I'm all for it.
I would love to do something like that for them.
I would love to give back for what they gave to
me. I would too.
Yeah, I would love to. So if we could do something and arrange something like that, I say, heck yeah.
And I think it would be awesome. We'll get together with Web Paranormal and see if we can, if they want to do it with us, and see if we could do a benefit charity drive for them where people come in and bring donations of food and blankets and little beds or whatever, money, whatever they can donate to this group.
I'll even get Uno a little crown to wear that day.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Oh. And Uno is the mascot.
Yes. She'll be the poster child.
That's right. Poster child. That's cute. Bless her heart.
Talker is here, but we'll do it.
But two angels came along and saved her, you and Devin, and sister, that made my heart grow 10 times bigger that day that I was in the hospital and I seen it, you know, and I was, oh my God, my sister and my nephew did what they were supposed to do. I was so proud of y'all.
Well, thanks. But I'll tell you what, when your heart's leading the way, you just can't say that.
No, you can't. You can't.
I saw that broken body in the street and those eyes looked up at me and it was like, oh my heart, oh my heart,
there you go. Oh boy. There goes my heart.
You're coming home with me. You're coming out of the street, you're going to be in my house. I'm so sorry.
Well, it's in a good home, a home where it will be loved
very much
by all of you guys, and she's going to be happy. She's already happy. You seen her laid out in Devin's arms.
Purring away. And, you know, and I even said to Devin, she has every right to hate every human on this earth.
Yes, she does.
She has every right. Every time she tries to stand up and there's nothing on that side.
Lord.
She has every right to hate every human on this earth.
But is she going to be able to walk?
Yes. They call them tripod cats because, of course, you know.
Yeah, one leg's missing.
One leg's gone. And I got a friend of mine, Sonia. She's a retired state trooper. And she's really awesome. And she's got a tripod cat. I think she got, and his name is Suarte. And I think that he was about the same age as Uno. And an accident happened with him as well. Mm. And I think Swarty's got to be at least 5 or 6, maybe more now. And I asked her, I said, okay, Sonia, what advice can you give to me as a tripod kitty mom that would help her? And she says, you know what? I got to tell you. She says, he does pretty good. But the only thing that they do with Swarty, which is what I'm going to do with Uno as well, is that strictly inside. She's going to be strictly an inside mom.
Yep. She has to be. Yep.
Absolutely. And she'll be just fine inside. And maybe one day I might get one of those outside enclosures. You know, it's kind of like a covered pen kind of a thing. And
Yeah.
I'll go out and like soak up some sun out in the grass or something for an hour or two. But other than that, she's gonna be inside with me.
Yeah.
And well, me and the whole family. And she said, other than that, she says, I tell you, she goes, he runs, he jumps, he does everything that a cat does. He just has his own way of doing it.
Yeah. Well,
So.
I love cats. I'm a cat person, and sadly, I'm allergic to them, so I can't be around them too much. But cats are pretty resilient. They have their own inner strength that they draw, you know, for lack of having or lack of not having something like an appendage, you know. So she'll do fine, and I know you. You will love her and cuddle her and spoil her, and
Oh
she'll be
yeah.
just fine.
Gonna get to a point where she's gonna be like, oh my God, here she comes again. No, want
No,
to
I
be
don't think so. I think that she's gonna love every single minute of it.
Yeah. Well, I hope so because I don't think her feet have touched the ground yet since she's been home. Everybody's been just holding her and she's like, oh yeah, this is good. This is great.
No.
And they let her go home with me because, of course, you know, I've got my vet tech. I'm vet tech, even though other people who I have been around didn't recognize that for what
Right.
was.
Yeah.
But in any case, yeah, and they let her go home with me because of me being a vet tech. And it was just really nice, you know, that I could have brought her home today. Otherwise, she would have had to have stayed there all week. But of
Oh,
course, I have
yeah.
experience with that. So, and you know, and I have a feeling me doing that with her is going to bring me even closer with her also, because you know, I'm helping her through a really tough time. She's
Right.
a really tough time.
And
Well, we all.
thank God you were there.
You know, I'm glad I was there. You know, at the end of
Me
it all,
too.
God puts you in certain places for a reason. And the young girl that was the client, I actually work with her. That's Morgan that I work with. And she just scooped her right up off the street, even though Uno gave her a little s to go with it. She was like, eh, you know,
Daddy,
scooped her right up.
He just went and he's eating right now.
I'm sorry, Kai, come in. This is our little viewer that this is. One of my grandsons, and he come in. You want to say hi to the people?
Hi. Hi, sweetheart.
Okay. He loves listening to our show.
Well, when I was, well, until mom.
He said he did until mom took his
Yeah.
phone.
When.
Bless his heart. Well, you're on the radio right now. You know that, right?
What?
Yep, you're on the radio with Aunt Debbie and me.
Wow.
What, Deb?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing.
So you're doing your radio show right
You're
now.
fine,
Yes,
you're
fine.
sir. Yes, and they're hearing your voice right now.
Well, can I help a little before I go?
Can you help a little? Well, sure. He can help a little, right, Deb?
Absolutely.
Okay.
He hasn't had a guest in a long time, so he can be our guest tonight.
Kai, you're our guest.
Okay. Just momentarily.
Momentarily.
Momentarily. Okay. That'll work.
Okay, well, what can you tell? Tonight, our show is about our investigations and different places that we've gone and experiences that we have had. Have you had personally any experiences with the paranormal world? Have you seen anything, heard anything, or whatever?
There was that one time in the white greenhouse that you had.
Okay.
Where you were doing this little thing with your app on your phone.
Uh-huh.
And it responded and everything. And me, Grayson, and Lily were all in the bed with you. And then all of a sudden, it would only respond to you, not me.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the drawers, the TV kept on turning on and off. The doors flew up, open everywhere. And me and Grayson just, we were very scared, so we hit on the blanket.
I remember that.
I remember that vividly. It changed my life. It was very scary.
It changed your life.
It was very scary.
Okay. Yeah,
he told me later on that he thought you were doing some strings, but they weren't strings. He went back in there.
Oh, he thought Mama had strings, Todd.
He saw no strings.
No, Mama didn't have nothing to do with that. That was the spirit world.
Well, that's all I have.
That's all you have?
Hey, that's more than a lot of people can say.
Right. Well, the boys, he and Grayson, my oldest grandson, have decided, they've already told me that they would be very, 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 very sad if I passed away, but that all of the equipment that Shadow Chasers has belongs to them.
I don't know if my mom's going to allow it.
Well, let's hope that you will be much, much older than you are now.
Yes, let's hope that.
I know, right? Before something happens to Mamaw. And then you'll be old enough to do what you want to do.
But, like, it sounds cool and all, but, like, what if something, I don't like the feeling that someone's going to get attached to me.
Well, that is a possibility. You know what you have to do? You have to stay prayed up and be one-to-one with God. And God will guide you and protect you and not let anything get attached to you.
You know, I'm just gonna go in there with a bottle of holy water and cross and say, "The power of Jesus Christ repels you."
Did you hear that?
And if I see a shadow, I'm gonna grab that bottle and go,
Good boy.
We've tried that. It took the veneer right off the wood.
Yes, it did. Oh my Lord.
I'll be like, "The power of Jesus Christ repels you."
No, I want to correct that sentence. No.
Yep.
Grandma tried that. Auntie Debbie did not try that. Grandma tried that.
I tried it. That's right. And it took that varnish right off that beautiful old door. Yeah.
I was like,
a time on Mom's life. That one time when the door kept on opening and shutting.
Yes. When Mommy was doing her live, she was upstairs and the bedroom door kept opening up on her. Okay. Yeah, that's happened.
Upstairs is a completely new place. You feel like as soon as you step foot, it's like you go up to the middle stair, it turns, like the vibe is totally different.
Aunt Debbie's been up there.
Like it's very hot up there. For some reason, I always feel like I'm being watched. Every room except for Lily's.
Yep. Aunt Debbie's been in the attic.
Watching me from behind in Lily's room.
Yeah.
The man. You called him the man.
Well, that's because he is a man. Mm-hmm. He is a guy. He's like a Civil War soldier.
Then why the heck does he want to be all creepy and crap?
Well, there's something that was left undone with him, and he's just not a happy spirit, and
he's just a cranky old man.
Well, most of them are.
So me and Grayson were doing a thing upstairs. He was doing like this spirit box app, and the grandma spirit warned us to stop. And I was like, okay. Not. And he wanted to keep going. I was like, no. If it said stop, just stop. But he kept going while we were downstairs. And you know what it said? That what? Really creeped me out.
What?
It said, "I see you." And then it said to Grayson, the F word you. That spooked the crap out of me.
That was nice. And he's not a nice spirit. That's what I was telling you. He is very mean and hateful. And I don't know. We got to do something about the dude in the attic.
Well, yeah. We got to do the cleansing.
Well, Aunt Debbie tried it. She even drank the Florida water. Oh, my God.
I mean, yes. I have a sustaining.
Yep, she drank the Florida water and went up in the attic and stuff. And it just didn't work.
And then on top of that, after I drank the Florida water, which was absolutely horrible, I tried to grab the glass that your grandma was holding to drink it down to get it out of my mouth, and that was tourmaline water. So I figured, I was just going to die.
So Aunt Debbie was very, very cleansed that night.
The power of Jesus Christ really cleansed your soul.
Yeah, he did. He cleansed Aunt Debbie.
But, well, it's a good thing because I'm the one that kept stuck getting up in the attic. But that's all right.
You were like, well, I got to get this out of my mouth.
And for those of you that don't know what Florida water is, it is a perfume of smelling type liquid that was made back in the Victorian era by two brothers as a cologne for men when they went to the barbershop and got their hair stuff and cut and stuff.
That's lovely.
So nowadays, paranormal investigators have found that Florida water is much better than any type of oil that you could use in a cleansing for the paranormal. So it's really good. You can get it online if you are in need of it, and is pretty inexpensive, but it is called Florida water.
And it's very good for cleansing out your digestive tract too.
I know something to lighten up the mood. Y'all want to hear a bee joke or a ghost joke?
Well, since our show is spooky things, do a ghost joke.
This one's kind of corny, though.
A corny ghost joke. Okay.
All right. How many ghosts does it take to turn on a light bulb?
All right, Deb, think. How many ghosts does it take to turn on a light bulb?
You wouldn't take any ghost to do it. You scare somebody bad enough, they'll be the one to turn on the light.
Yeah.
You're doing it right.
Right.
Do y'all know the answer?
What's the answer?
Evidently not.
The poltergeist does it.
The what?
The poltergeist does it.
The poltergeist does it.
Well, that kind of blends in with what I was saying.
Well, right.
Goodbye.
All right. Well, that's Kai right there. That's my grandson. Okay, sweetheart. Have a good night. Love you. Thanks, Trey. Love you, baby. Yeah, well, that was little Kai.
He gone.
Yeah. Time for him to go home.
He's so cute.
Him and his ghost jokes, I tell you. It's funny.
He is a trip.
Yeah, he is. He's a little smart booger is what he is. Oh, well, and there's Jazzy.
What we're going to do tonight is that we're going to talk a little bit about some of the experiences that we have had. Where's Jazzy?
Jazzy's right here. Come here, Jazz. Come here, baby. Sarah.
There's
Sarah. Just running around.
She's so cute. So basically what we're going to do tonight, we're going to talk about some of the experiences that we've had.
Yes.
Doing whatever investigation. It's very varied. The experiences that we've had, it's really varied. We've had great experiences. We've had absolutely horrible experiences.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. And, but they all mean something. And they all, every experience that we have contributes to the whole, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, even the bad experiences that we have, we've learned from them.
Right. Excuse me.
From some really weird places.
Yes. We've been a lot of different places. And in the very beginning, a lot of our investigations were private homes. Mm-hmm. And stuff. And Lord, let me tell you, some of the people that we went into their homes to help them, they were just desolate. They were so desperate for someone to come in and help them with their situation. And they had went to churches. You know, of course, you know, when you got something spiritual going on in your house, what's the first thing on your mind? Who do you go to? The church. Okay, so the church turned these families away. Just about every single family that we went to turned them away. So, of course, we come in, swooped in, and did the cleansing of their homes and stuff. But people are unaware of what they're doing that allows spirits into their home. Okay, now I'm not talking about people like me and you, Deb, or any other empaths or psychics that are out there that deal with spirits possibly on a daily basis. But, you know, these are people who have no idea of the spirit world. They have never dealt with it, and they are just so desperate for someone that knows and understands, and really, this is the main thing, really believes them, because everybody that they had talked to said, oh no, you're crazy, you're just seeing that ain't nothing to it, blah blah blah, you know. And the main thing is they felt so comforted about us believing in them, because why? We've seen this. We've seen it 100,000 times or more, you know, that, and we've dealt with it. So I tell you, it's a sad situation out there. People don't understand what they're allowing into their home by simply buying an old piece of furniture that they see that they loved, and there may be an attachment to that piece of furniture, and they bring it into their home. Okay, then boom, all of a sudden activity starts, you know, or they're metaphysical curious, where they start messing with tarot cards or the Ouija board or whatever. That all opens up the door for these spirits to come into your home, and it just invade it and create havoc.
You know, talking about that, I was asked a very, very interesting question today. Of course, I had a very quick answer for it.
Right.
But the question was, can a ambulance become attached? My answer was absolutely.
Can a what?
Ambulance. A 911.
Okay.
Can something attach to something in them?
Well, absolutely. Sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, what happens if a patient that is in that ambulance passes away?
Well, my explanation of it was that it was like, especially for something like a car accident or any kind of horrific accident that's quick, and this person does not even have time to say goodbye to their family.
Right.
They're dying or they've died, and it's like, it's horrifically quick for them, and they're not ready to go, and they haven't said goodbye to their family. They're going to do anything that they can do to not go.
Right.
Yes, they can become attached to something in there, or in another situation, like if it was a family, a husband and wife situation, and one turns on the other and violently attacks them, and the other person is thinking, but this is a person that should be loving me and treating me as best as I can be treated, but this person is killing me.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, that is definitely I mean, a horrific kind of a thing. In a traumatic situation like that, can a spirit attach to something in an ambulance? You bet. You
oh,
bet
sure.
you can.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'd never really put the thought into it with that, but
me neither. And you know, that kind of scares me just a tiny bit, because I just took a ride 7 days ago in an ambulance to the hospital, but I was so sick I would not have even thought of anything like that at all. But
yeah,
you
it was
are
a paramedic
correct.
that it was his ambulance. It was a paramedic that.
Wow.
Yeah. And my answer was yes, and he was like, "Oh, oh,
yeah." And there's a lot of trauma that's going on in an ambulance, because you know, when you call an ambulance, you've got an emergency. I mean, it's dire, and you know, there's a lot of stuff going on inside that ambulance. They're hooking you up to IVs. Hooking you up to heart monitors. I mean, everything is like boom, boom, boom. It's happened so fast, you know. And so I can definitely see where the chaos, and especially if it's, like you said, a traumatic accident, like a car wreck or, you know, whatever. I mean, yeah, I can see where it would possibly have an attachment to it.
Easily.
Haunted ambulance. Hey. You know,
and I just told him to just do a cleansing of it, you know, about once a week. It doesn't have to be loud. Nobody else even needs to know that you're doing it,
right?
Go by yourself and just take care of business about once a week.
Yeah,
you shouldn't have any problems. But can they? Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. It can happen. It can happen anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
So.
My nose is killing me. I'm sorry. I my nose is fractured from where I face planted on the concrete.
Yes,
I
know.
I can't see you without my glasses, so I keep taking them off, letting my nose rest, and then putting them back on so I can see you.
I'm so sorry. Oh my God.
What is one investigation that sticks out in your mind that was probably the most scary?
The hospital at Defuniac.
Oh yeah. Yep. That's the main one that was sticking out in my mind too.
Yeah, because I mean, there were things that are in there that I think are transient. I think they're kind of coming and going. I don't think that they're there for a duration, but I think they're a real force to be reckoned with.
Yeah. Oh, I do too. I think they're, and you know, if you got a place that's haunted and you have multiple, like at the hospital, multiple spirits, they're all there together. And when they are together, they are one heck of a juju to have to deal with.
Well, it's called a collective, as we know.
Yeah. Yep.
And a collective is an extremely strong force, because they're all pooling in their resources into one pot.
Definitely.
And all of their direction is pointed on you.
Yep.
And that's a scary place to be.
Yep. We had several things to happen. You want to let the listeners know some of the things that happened that night when we were there?
Well, I think the main thing, one of the main things was when the one spirit came flying down those stairs.
Yes.
Hit into you, pushed you.
Yeah.
You fell back into me, and then I fell back into, we were like dominoes, boom, 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 going down those stairs.
Yeah.
So she got all three of us in one good shove. And that was a tough shove. And you were the one that took the brunt of that one.
Oh my God, yes. Because yeah. That was right after the boys, all of the boys in the group come running down the stairs from upstairs, because this thing had gotten after them.
Yeah.
And they run out the front door, and you and me and Nina looked at each other and I said, well, I'm not running, are you? And we said, no, we're going to stand our ground. So I got at the end of the stairs and started rebuking that thing. And whenever I did, I mean, that's when that powerful cold blast of air hit me, knocked me into you, and you knocked into Nina.
Raymond.
Oh, yeah, Raymond was there, too. Yep.
Nina was the only one who was smart enough to stand to the side of the stairs.
He got out of its way is what he did.
She saw what was coming. She's like, oh, hell no.
And we took the full force blunt of it.
You did.
Yeah, but right after that happened, remember we did the EVP session, and we asked that thing what it wanted, and it said it wanted blood.
Blood. Right. And it was just right there with it. It was like,
oh, I know.
In your power to get it, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I looked at you and I looked at Nina, and we all three was looking at each other, and we were like, okay, it wants blood.
<You know? laughs> And I remember Nina going, like, well, we're not going to do that.
Yep. Well, we're not going to do that. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. I'm agreeing with you on this one.
Yeah. That was a movie worthy moment to be sure. When all the boys come running down the stairs and we're out of here. That thing's after us. It said it was going to get us. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. And then down at the bottom of the stairs, that thing followed them from the top of the stairs down to where we were. Lord, that thing was, you could just feel the hatred and the negative energy off of that thing. It was just crazy.
That and the whole night from the very beginning until the very end of the night was the hangman hanging up in the doorway.
Yes, by his name. The hangman. Yes. Yep. And he very much... He very much, to me, reminded me of the Slender Man.
Yes, you know, very much.
As far as his looks. But that one area and that room that was behind him, he would not let us in there.
Nope.
And every time that some of us went there and tried to go through that passageway there into that other room, we couldn't do it. None of us could do it. None of us could break the evil energy and stuff that was there.
As soon as you got up to him, it's like there was a buzzing in your head.
Yeah.
Because Stephen tried and he came back. He goes, I can't even get close enough to him.
Yeah.
We all tried. And it's like as soon as we got up closer to it, it was like a thousand flies buzzing in your head.
Yep.
No, I can't do it. I can't get close to him.
Yep. Sure enough.
Yeah, he was.
And then, do you remember when we were packing up and started to leave? And I told you guys, don't look up. Mm-hmm. I said, don't look up. Don't look back at the hospital. And I said, don't look up, because I said, they're all at the windows and some even on top of the hospital standing there glaring at us, saying, ha ha, we ran them off.
Yeah.
You know? And then I was afraid, too, that if we did look back, that some of them would have attached to us. And if you remember, Miss Olame, that was in that one room, she attached to me and went home with me.
Yeah.
But thank God she was a sweet soul.
Right. She didn't do anything. She was away from them, too.
She was. She cried out. She cried out that night. Remember, we did get some to pass over, and Miss Olame was one of them that cried out to me and said, Sarah, help me.
Yes.
Yep. So I was able to get her to pass over, and I hope that she's at peace.
Oh, yes, she is. And remember, I had the experience with the older, it was an older black gentleman in the very back room to the left.
Wasn't that the room to the right? No, to the left. I'm sorry.
To the left. Back to the wall.
Yeah. To the left.
And you know, he was like, no, I'm not going. I'm not going. He
right.
Like he had an agenda. But he wanted to go really bad. And I kept saying, come on, it's okay. It really, please, come on. I can't. I want to go, but I can't.
Yeah.
And my heart went out to him because he was so committed to something. I have no idea what. But
I don't either. But maybe it was because it was the last place that, you know, he knew of.
Could be.
That you know, he lived there or something. I don't know. It was strange. Real strange. That was probably one of the top five best investigations that we have ever done.
Absolutely. Bar none. Yeah.
And then there was a group, another investigative, paranormal investigative group that went in shortly after us. And I was in contact with them. And they said that they got hardly nothing.
How?
I mean, how do you not connect with a hospital full of spirits?
I don't know. I mean, we didn't even try to contact them. Like, they were
no.
there.
Yeah, Miss Olame contacted me right off the bat when we first got there. Yeah. You know, so that's why I went to her room, if you noticed. And remember, I was in her room, the one on the left, like three doors down from the main entrance. And I stayed in her room quite a bit because I was conversing with her.
Yeah.
And
to us, we offered very little suggestions to them. They came up to us. So I don't get how you can get nothing out of the hospital there. It's like,
they said that they got nothing. And then also hear that there is another group that's gone in there and has done investigative tours, paranormal tours in the hospital. Now, I have not heard how that has gone. You know, I don't know what that's all about, but you know, the other group that went in there, they got nothing from what I understand.
I don't see how somebody could go in there and get nothing because they were all over us.
Oh yeah. And then remember when Stephen and Mike went into that one area that was like going down into the bottom of the hospital, the boiler room. There you go. Thank you. The boiler room. And that thing crawled up the wall and into the ceiling and was crawling across the ceiling at them. And that's whenever I radioed and said, abort, abort, that thing is crawling at you on the ceiling, you know? And so the guys come running out of there and everything, because they said that they could just feel the evil, you know, in that boiler room.
Yeah. And that was a low level. That wasn't even a high level.
Right.
That was a low level being there.
Right.
So that just goes to show you that these things, it doesn't matter whether they're low or high level. I mean, to them, a low level, they're going to mess you up.
Yep.
And you just don't want to mess with any of them. You just steer clear from that.
Right.
But, and Stumpy came, he would like make little appearances all over the place.
Yeah.
He was a weird little fellow. Yeah, he just needed to be gone. But there was
you got to remember that this is a place of hospitals are very chaotic. Sick people are there, people dying, people giving birth. I mean, there's a lot of trauma within a hospital. And this hospital was as old as it is back in the day when it was up and operational. It segregated people.
Yes.
It had a place in the back of it where the colored people were, and then the white people were in the main part of the hospital, which I think is totally wrong. I mean, because come on, people, you know, the color of our skin means nothing to me. As far as I'm concerned, we are all one with God and we are His children. So that makes us family. Because we are the family and the children of God. But They did. They segregated.
Yeah, the people. It was just acceptable, which I mean, that's just historically accurate, is that it was just accepted.
Right.
And, you know, looking back on it now, we find it to be an absolutely horrific kind of a deal.
I do. And
I got to tell you, even back in the day, I still would have found it to be a horrific kind of a thing. I can't relate to that in any way. But, and you're going to find with the Native Americans, the Chinese, Irish, everybody thinks that, you know, a lot of the slaves were all Black or Native American. Actually, there was a lot of Chinese slaves involved in that as well as the Irish. And right. I know it's a lot of people about Irish, but a lot of Irish people were used as slaves as well. It's horrific all the way around.
It is. But
the hospital is a testament, is like lost in its time capsule.
Yeah.
Of things that were done in there. You know,
yeah.
So you kind of get a taste of the absurdity of it by going in there and experiencing something like that. But I think it's important, though, that places like that exist.
Yeah.
I think it's important because people need to be reminded sometimes, no, this is real. This really happened.
Now, here's another little piece of information. Exactly. When I was in the hospital this past week, I got out Saturday, and while I was in there at the West Florida Hospital in Pensacola, the nurses, you know, we become pretty chatty when they come in, whenever I started feeling better. In the very beginning, I didn't talk. I was just lethargic. I was so sick and just felt so bad. I didn't do anything but just lay there and let them do whatever they needed to do. But when we got to talking and stuff, and they found out that I was a paranormal investigator, they started telling me little things that happens there at the hospital. And they were telling me that on the second floor, and I forgot what room it was, they said that they should take me down there and let me see what I could feel, but they never did because they would have gotten in trouble about it. But, you know, they said that there are two children that walk the hallway and make noise at night where the patients, it makes it hard for them to sleep. So the patients call down to the nurse's station and ask the nurses just about every night to have the children that are in the hallway to please be quiet.
Wow.
So that would have been pretty cool. I wish I could have went down there. I really do. That would have been so cool to be able to experience something like that. But they were telling me little stories. You know, in one of them's a pantry area, the cabinet doors and stuff open up by themselves. They'll walk in and get something that a patient needs from the pantry, and all of the cabinets are shut, and then they'll go back a few minutes later to get something else for another patient, and the cabinet doors, all of them, will be wide open.
Wow.
So cool little things like that, you know, that they were all opening up and telling me. And then oddly enough, three nights in a row, I couldn't sleep at all. And it wasn't because, part of it was because in the room that I was in, there was a lot of spiritual activity going on inside it. And I had to deal with that. But then nurses would come in, and me and my abilities, I would pick up on things and start talking to them and telling them things and about themselves and things that were happening to them in their lives. And I was trying to reassure them. Girl, that happened three nights in a row that I got no sleep. You barely get enough sleep as it is with them coming in and out, checking on you, giving you your pills, checking your sugar, the vampires coming up from lab at 2 a.m. in the morning needing blood, you know. So you get very little sleep in the hospital anyway. But then when those three separate nurses come to me three separate nights in a row, and I started counseling them and picking up on things and telling them about themselves, and two of them even started crying. Aww. And they wanted to know, how do you know that? And I'm like, I can't tell you. I don't know. I said, it's just something that when I looked at you, that came to me and I picked up, and I needed to tell you, you know, about this and about how it's going to straighten out and that you're going to be okay. It's just going to be a period of in your life that you've got to get through.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. Crazy hospital stay. I was sick as a dog, and then had people coming in and wanting me to counsel them and talk about paranormal stuff.
Well, but I didn't mind it. It's a very fascinating kind of a thing. And I spoke to someone today who was a intelligent skeptic.
Okay.
He's skeptic, but he doesn't totally dismiss it, but he's skeptical on it. But he's an intelligent individual as well. So he realizes that there's limits to things that he will accept.
Right.
He's not going to go beyond that. And I told him, I said, that's perfectly reasonable. I think anybody would be that way. You know, anybody should be that way, at least. But we were talking about things, and he said, well, a couple of things that you've said to me really kind of raises the hair on my arms. He goes, what off of that? And I just kind of looked and I said, to realize that this is really real. I think it's just the realization that this is real. It's not something, we don't go out there and just make this stuff up. I'm not that clever. Guys, I am not that clever that I can come out there and make these stories up.
Right. Neither am I. You know, yeah. we everything that we tell our listeners or tell people that we come across in our walk of life, it's all true. 102,000% true. These are experiences that we have had, and I consider ourselves fortunate because there's a lot of people out there, with the exception of other paranormal investigators and teams out there, that have the same experiences or are close to what we have. I consider ourselves blessed because a lot of people do not have the ability to be able to see, hear, or do some of the things that we do.
Right.
A lot of people are closed off and they don't want anything to do with the spirit world, which I totally understand that, because it is in the Bible that says, there's a scripture that says that you're not supposed to talk with the spirits. And Jesus knew what he was talking about. You know, he knew the consequences and everything, the responsibilities that could come about with people doing that, you know. And there is a lot of responsibilities that have come along with us being able to see, hear, and deal with the spirit world. It's not a paranormal playground, you know. It is serious. Serious stuff, and stuff can and will and does follow you home. You just have to be strong enough to be able to deal with it. And it's just like this house. I mean, I would like to do a show on just this house, but I want to get the team over and let's do another investigation here and see if we can't get rid of Mr. Meany up in the attic. But this house willed me here. It called to me, guys, over the flipping internet. How, you know, and you think, how can something do that? Well, the internet is on our phones, of course, and we have the apps and stuff to be able to be on the internet and be on Facebook and the other apps that we go on. Well, that's energy. Spirits yeah. need energy in order to manifest or do what they do. That's why we go through batteries as much as we do in an investigation. Lord, girl, I've bought so many batteries and they've been drained so many times that have to go back to the store and buy batteries. I should own stock in EverReady. You know, I should be the CEO of the battery companies out there, because you can just go broke buying batteries because these spirits use up the energy. But it's some people are closed-minded and they don't want to deal with it, and I understand that. But once you open up that third eye chakra,
right,
then is when you begin to experience the spirit world and all of that. You know, it's a blessing. I count it a blessing to be able to see that and hear that. But then it's also a curse on top of it, because it doesn't matter where you go. See, just like I was sick in the hospital and people were coming to me and spirits were coming to me, and I had to deal with the sickness that I was having. And then that too, that's the cursed part, where when you don't feel good and you want to be left alone and the spirits are in need, and they come to you anyway.
Yeah.
And then the living is in need, you know, just like the nurses that came to me and I counseled with them. This is our calling. That's all I can say. Our calling. We were gifted these gifts from birth, you know, from well, way before birth, when we were still in heaven with God, before he gave us to our parents, that he instills gifts in each child. And these were the gifts that we were given. Like it or not.
Like it or not. Yeah, exactly.
Like it or not. You have to choose to be able to know how to use your gift, either for the good or for the bad. And when you choose to do good with your gifts, it I don't know, it gives you a feeling of comfort and a feeling of pride to be able to know that you have helped a person that was in need. You lifted the burdens off of their shoulders. And then also you've helped a spirit that's in need. So it's I'm telling you, it's a job. It is J-O-B with a capital J. I mean, in bold letters, J-O-B. It is a job that we have to do.
Yeah, a lot of times people don't really know the effort that you have to go to put into something like this.
Exactly. Yep.
There's a lot that's of when, it.
That's when a lot of nights, you and I, when we're done and the team's crashing for the night, yeah. You and me literally crash. Because yeah. You and I are so drained from doing what we do and giving our energy and stuff to, you know, the spirit world to be able to cross spirits over or to help people in need. It just drains us.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes me just a day or two to get over, you know, that, or sometimes it can take weeks. And then like with the Sicily Island case that we went on, you weren't with us at the time. It was some more members on the team. But Sicily Island, I brought back the spirit that was haunting this family with me. I had to. I did it. I forcefully made him attach to me. And I had to bring him back to get him away from that family. And it took me a month in order to get rid of him and have him dissipate and slowly disappear. It was crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. It was a situation of where I was caused to be the carrier, and he was the cause, and I was the carrier. So, you know, you do the things that you do. Sometimes you do off the wall things like I did with him, bringing him away from that family, but it's the only thing that I knew to do.
Well,
to
yeah.
get that family where they could live again and be at peace in their home. Tell you, girl, it's like a sideshow circus. Sit down, punch a ticket, sit down and watch the show, baby.
Oh, yep. My God. I mean, Camp 31 with the experience that we had with that huge booming noise.
Yes. Oh, my God.
That was scary.
Yes, it was. It was terribly scary.
Oh, we didn't know where it was coming from or where it was going to. And, you know, I thought it was coming down on top of us.
Yep.
And I'm still, the weird thing for me is the way that it sounded. I mean, every one of us heard the sound.
Yeah.
But every one of us heard a different sound than the other one heard.
We sure did.
And it played in each one of our spheres. It was bizarre.
It was nuts.
It was
nuts. And we've been very fortunate to be able to have gone to the places that we have. I've been to the Myrtles plantation and went through there, which I would love to go back. But a lot of spiritual activity going on there. I've been a lot of places, and we've been very fortunate to be able to go there. My bucket list, I would say, for the team is for the team to be able to have the funds to be able to go to Waverly and experience Waverly. Waverly is sanatorium is off the chain. So I would love for us to be able to go and experience that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's still a whole lot of things I would still like to experience. You know, we're far from done with this.
Oh yeah. You're never done in the spirit world. Never done. And I dare say that the spirit world is more active than the real world is. I mean, we're going about our daily lives and busy little bees, but the spirit world, I tell you, it's crazy and it is super active.
Yeah.
If you can tune into it. And I think that might be the problem with some other teams out there that say, well, we didn't get what y'all got, blah, blah, blah. You know, well, did you tune into the spirit world? Did you do this? Did you do that? You know, like we do. I mean, we give 200%.
Right.
When we go in and we start investigating 200% off the bat. And I think that's with our abilities that we have, and then giving the 200%, I think that's why we are so successful with the evidence and stuff that we have accumulated.
I agree with you.
I mean, who else has captured a spiritual rape? You know, who else has captured spirits doing very, very naughty things towards you, and you know, very sexually naughty things. I couldn't believe it whenever I seen it with my own two eyes on the SLS. I'm like, oh my God, you know, can look what this spirit is standing there and doing. It's just, I had no idea that spirits could do things like that.
Yeah. No.
None whatsoever. It was just, I was in awe. I mean, I was shocked, of course, but then I was in awe. And then whenever I started getting onto him for what he was doing, then he finally stopped, you know. They hear and understand, and they can do things in the spirit world just like in the real world. Just because their body's not there anymore, their body's gone because it's perished, they passed away. The spirit is still there, and the spirit is the essence of who that person is. It's just all we are is spirits encapsulated in a meat suit. That's all it is. We're all spiritual beings on the inside. It is. If you get down to the brass facts of it and think about it, we are spiritual. We are spirits, and our body is just a meat capsule to harness our spirit. And once we pass away, once this body, you know, decides it's had enough, then our spirits leave it and go wherever, you know. Some are lucky enough to pass on over and go into heaven. Some are not so lucky, and they go down to the bottom place, you know, and then some linger. It's nuts. When you get to studying it and thinking about it and looking up things, it just blows your mind. Blows your mind. It's just all in what you're open to and willing to accept.
Oh, you're absolutely right. It's whenever we go into an investigation, we are very open-minded. It's like we're ready for almost anything.
Yes.
You know, definitely. It's like so much. It's like, all right, this is what we're going to experience this year. And we turn out to be right because it's the same set of circumstances. This is not our first rodeo. It's not our 10th. It's not our 20th.
No.
We know what's going on out there.
I've been around and been doing this for 30 years now.
Yep.
And, it's been a long road. It's been a very eventful road. Some of it was been joyful and happy, and then some of it has been sad and had tears, you know. You put in it, whatever you put into it, you get back in return. You know what I mean?
I do. Let me show you something real quick. Ready?
Yep. Oh, that's so precious, Debbie. There's little Uno, you guys. I think she's going to wind up being Devin's kitty. I think he's already attached.
It very well be.
Freaked out. The second kitty opened it. She found her way out. She let her sit there and see what she did. She by herself. Didn't like it. I picked her up. She got one position, curled up. That was it. So Kitty and I kind of realized it's Devin and Duff.
Okay, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's their cat. And it's a shame. I really loved her a lot.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
That's about all that I have, sister, to talk about tonight. It's drained me a little bit because I'm still pretty weak from my experiences. And if you guys don't know, I don't know how much Deb shared with you, and I'm willing to share a little bit with you. Of course, I had the car wreck, and I was getting over it. And then my mother, God bless her heart, she's 82 years of age and has a lot of health issues. But she fell out in the yard on concrete and broke her hip. So we had to put her in the hospital, and she has a hip replacement now. And I had to go through all of that. And then we had to, from the hospital, 2 weeks from the hospital, we had to put her in rehab in a physical therapy facility here up the road from my house. And I was on my way. I had went to physical therapy for the car wreck accident. And I was on my way back from picking up some items that mom asked me to get and bring to her. And I do, to this day, I don't know what happened. I don't know if I fainted from sheer exhaustion, which is 100% possible because I was just overloaded. But anyway, I fell and I face planted, you guys, right on concrete. And I'm telling you, my face looked like I had been a meat grinder. It was all tore up and I was bleeding and I fractured my nose. I have messed up my right leg. I have a golf ball size knot on my right knee where I have a knee replacement that will not go down. And I am black and blue from the backside of my leg at my knee all the way down to my toes on the right leg. And then I was trying to get over all of that. I become really sick and couldn't keep nothing down for 5 days. Didn't matter what it was. I could not keep it down. And so finally, my husband called an ambulance to me. And that proved out to where I have a kidney stone that needs to be taken out. And then I also have a bacterial infection in my blood. And also I had a bad infection in my kidneys that was causing me to be as sick as I was. So I have really been through it.
The good part is, though, coming out the other end now. And how is it that you feel? I mean, you've got to feel like 1,000% better than.
Oh, I do. I really do. If I could just get over the leg, which I'm going to have to go to an ortho to get it checked out because it's pretty messed up. I'm in a moon, what I call a Frankenstein boot. If y'all know what those big old blue boot things look like, I have to be in it for 6 to 8 weeks. But yeah, I feel much better as far as the bacteria part. You know, bacteria part just made me feel like I was dying. I'm not joking. I felt like I was at death's door. And if I hadn't gone, I probably would have been, because they said it was a pretty serious and very aggressive infection. So, yeah, I feel 100% better. I just got to get the rest. Just got to get the rest of my face. My face is healed up pretty good. There's one place right from my lip up to the part of my nose right here that is really sore still and got a lot of scabbing and stuff. But as soon as that gets well from where I fell, I should be okay. And then I messed up my front tooth. When I hit the concrete, I hit my teeth and it busted the inside of my lip, top lip, and I've messed up one of my teeth. One is further out than the other now. So, girl, when I do something, I do it right, I guess.
I'm telling you.
There ain't no sloppiness in my game, girl. I do it to the gusto or I don't do it at all. Lord help.
He'll just do it all at one time.
Yeah, do it all and get it over with. But you know what? I want to thank the ones that are listening that are my friends on Facebook and friends of Hallowed Grounds and friends of Shadow Chasers and stuff and Web Paranormal. God, Web Paranormal is family. All of you guys were praying for me, and I greatly from the depths of my soul appreciate all the prayers because they worked. I'm here.
Absolutely. I am here.
Yep. So thank you and much love back to you guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, before we go and end the podcast tonight, we've got to promote and talk about the Paracomicon, the Ozark Paracomicon coming in August. It's August the 19th and the 20th. We do have flyers out on our pages, you guys. So everyone that's on Facebook with us and everyone that's not on Facebook with us that's listening to us, look us up. Shadow Chasers and Hallowed Grounds and Web Paranormal. Look them up because they are promoting it. Stan and Teresa Fikes are heading everything up, and they have a phenomenal list of celebrity guests that will be there, and just all kinds of different vendors of all sorts of food and entertainment. There is going to be, I understand, a paranormal tour that will take place. Guys, you are not going to want to miss this. If you miss it, then guess what? Shame on you. And I feel sorry for you, because this is just going to be an amazing two-day event that I am so looking forward to. I really am. I can't wait to be there and experience everything for myself and yourself, and just have a good time with people that we know and that we love, and people that we will meet, that we will begin to become friends with.
Absolutely. I mean, it is true. The paranormal community is a big family. It really is.
It sure is.
We like to promote each other and, you know, invite each other over to investigations, you know. It is a big family. It really is. You know, when someone does really good, we all celebrate. It's like, it's just great.
Definitely. So. But there's going to be some amazing people there. I would love to get a list of the names that will be there, because right off the top of my head, the only ones that I can really think of is Leetrianna Terry Brown. She will be there, and she, oh my God, guys, she is such a sweetheart. If you meet Leetrianna, you are going to just flip, because she is just an angel, just a sweetheart. And then there's going to be Jeremy Leonard. He will be there, and he has been on Haunted 28 Days. And then there's another Ghost of Morgan City. And the dude is just phenomenal. You know, he's another one that's going to be amazing, that you will want to get a chance to meet and speak with. The list is endless, you guys. It is endless. So mark your calendars and spend the weekend down there. Good luck getting a hotel room, because you know, it gets pretty crowded down there the closer that we get to the event date. So you want to make your plans early. If you're going to stay for the weekend, get your hotel early.
And
that way you'll have accommodations to be there.
Yep.
I'm excited.
I am excited. Yeah.
I can't wait.
I know. We're going to have such a good time.
Yes. And hopefully my leg will be better by then, and I'll be able to walk better.
Oh, yeah, it will be. If not, I'll just push you around.
Right now I'm walking like I'm 90 years old, but
how I said you around.
yeah I tell you, and then dragging around that Frankenstein boot, as I call it, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, it's hard to get around with those things.
Yeah,
if it makes you feel any better, I'll wear my Frankenstein boot too.
Okay,
I'll sympathize with you. I'll wear mine.
Oh, that's my sissy. You don't want me to feel bad, so you're gonna do that for me. Yeah, I love you. You're such a sweetheart.
Just wallow in the mud with you, honey.
Yeah, you're a sweetheart. Well, thank you all so much for listening tonight. We appreciate it. We hope we didn't bore you too much, and that you enjoyed a bit of the information that we gave you, plus our special guest, which was my grandson, Kai. Yeah. That was a surprise.
So, you just never know what's going to happen around here.
Right. But we love you guys, and thank you for listening and being supporters of our group and of Web Paranormal and Web Radio. Thank you guys for everything. So is there anything you want to say, Deb?
Nope. I just want to say that we will see you guys on Tuesday of next week. Well, we'll be back on the air Tuesday of next week, 7 Central. And I can't wait for it. We're going to have some good topics coming up for you. We've got some guest hosts that are going to be coming on, and we're really excited. Going good. We've got Sarah back now.
Yes, thank you. Yay, I'm here.
I'm so excited. All right. Well, we love you, you guys, and you guys take care, and we will talk to you again on Tuesday night.
Coming soon.
Have a great
Deep South Paroc Comic Con 2023.
Check out this amazing event that will have you laughing and screaming all at the same time.
This event has it all. From some cast members from The Walking Dead, workshops to help with psychic abilities, an oddities room, and even more. Not to mention the yummy food and amazing guest speakers. Don't miss out on this amazing paranormal experience. Get your tickets now as spaces are limited.
Don't forget the kiddos. It's a family-friendly event.
Deep South Paroc Comic Con in Ozark, Alabama, August 19th and 20th, 2023. Visit www.deepsouthparacomiccon.com to get your tickets today.
Thank you.